The first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Psalm 97, verses 10 through 12. You who love the Lord hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord with thanks to his holy name. The second reading is from John 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, our Father, are in me, and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You know, the COVID pandemic increased the number of people shopping online. And this has caused demand for delivery services to skyrocket, causing an unforeseen merger in the works. To ensure that people get the best package delivery and express service, UPS and FedEx are joining forces, and they are calling themselves FedUp. Our gospel lesson this morning records Jesus speaking about Christians merging into one. Once upon a time, Christians were all a part of the Roman Catholic Church. And then disagreements arose, and a little group splintered off here and another one off there. And that went on for centuries until the Protestant Reformation, when the church exploded into a multitude of denominations, leaving the idea of being one in the dust. Mergers are difficult. They require unity, and unity can be very difficult. I mean, some mergers fail because they're just a bad idea from the get-go, whether they are in business or in churches. The AOL Time Warner merger is an example of merger gone wrong, whereas the merger of Disney and Pixar was like a fairy tale come true. And some marriages last a lifetime, while others do not. Because, as I said, unity is difficult. Our denomination is a master class on mergers. Throughout our history, we have experienced the coming together of two or more Christian denominations to form a new church. And so I'm going to give you a little brief history here. I mean, the United Church of Christ was birthed in a series of mergers. For years, confirmands were taught that the UCC was formed from four streams becoming one river. And the first merger occurred between the Congregational Churches of the English Reformation and Puritan New England, and the Christian Church with America frontier beginnings. And these two denominations were concerned for freedom of religious expression and local autonomy. And they united on June 17, 1931, to become the Congregational Christian Church. And the other two denominations were the Evangelical Synod of North America, a 19th century German-American church of the frontier Mississippi Valley, and the Reformed Church in the United States, initially composed of early 18th century churches in Pennsylvania colonies, and they unified in 1793 to become a synod. And the parent churches were of German and Swiss heritage. They were conscientious carriers of the Reformed and Lutheran traditions of the Reformation, and they united to form the Evangelical and Reformed Church on June 26, 1934. This congregation comes out of Evangelical and Reformed roots. Now, the Evangelical and Reformed Church and the Congregational Christian Church shared a strong commitment under Christ to the freedom of religious expression. They combined strong European ties, early colonial roots, and the vitality of the American frontier church. And their union forced accommodation between congregational and presbyterial forms of church government. Both denominations found their authority in the Bible and were more concerned with what unites Christians than what divides them. In their marriage, a church that valued the free congregational tradition was strengthened by one that remained faithful to the liturgical tradition of Reformed church worship, a tradition that maintained important aspects of European Protestantism, was broadened by one that, in mutual covenant with Christ, embraced diversity and freedom. And thus the United Church of Christ, a united and united, uniting church, was born on June 7 with the motto taken from our scripture today, that they may all be one. That is the UCC motto. It's on our seal. Now, 2 years ago at the General Synod that was held in Indianapolis, the UCC acknowledged a fifth stream was part of our history, just as vital as the other four, and publicly recognized the Afro-Christian Convention as one of our denominational roots. Throughout its history, the UCC has sought to become one with other denominations, and we are currently in full discipleship and partnership with the Disciples of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and the Reformed Church of America. They continue working towards becoming one. Now, Jesus was a master of merging people together for his kingdom business venture and bringing them together into the church. I mean, he gathered 12 men with all their various desires and expectations and cultures and skills, and he formed them into this corporate group of disciples with a common mission and new culture, a new shared culture. And as he prepared to depart from them, he prayed that they and all those in the future who would believe in him through their word would all be one. And the model for their and our new corporate culture is found within the very nature of God revealed in the Trinity. I mean, Jesus prayed, "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that their world may believe you have sent me." In chapter 14 of John, Jesus has already revealed the person of the Holy Spirit that will come upon the disciples. That's going to happen next week. And the Trinity functions as the perfect corporate culture equation, where the math looks like 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Jesus prayed that the disciples, past, present, and future, would reflect that equation in their corporate faith and work on so that the mission of reaching the world with the good news of the gospel would pass from Jesus to them unabated. Unfortunately, that culture change has been slow in coming for Jesus' followers in the years since, because despite denominational mergers and calls for unity, the church often acts as though its disparate cultures and sacred cows that require constant care and feeding, with separate visions of what Jesus would have those in the church to do and be. The divisions of conservative and liberal, high church, low church, Protestant and Catholic, individual gospel and social gospel, and even traditional and contemporary. They've done precisely the opposite of what Jesus intended and prayed for us. Rather than causing the world to believe that God sent Jesus for its salvation, we have instead caused the world to see the division of the church as evidence that if there's good news out there, somewhere, it might not be found in the church. We've had far more spin-offs and breakups than mergers and acquisitions and the unifying message and person of Jesus. It gets lost as churches and denominations are more apt to argue and leave one another than work to restore a common vision and life together. And saddest of all are the churches who have replaced faith in Christ with nationalism. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, prays Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one. Glory is a major theme in John's gospel. And here Jesus uses it to describe both what he has received from God and what he has given to his disciples. It is a reflected glory, an angled mirror that reflects God's love to the world through Jesus to us, to the world, which in turn reflects glory back to God. We are never to be about the business of glorifying ourselves, our churches, or our doctrines, or our positions, but we are called to be a community that always reflects God's glory revealed in Jesus. When churches who make up the body of Christ begin to focus on that glory, the path to unity and true merger becomes clearer. And how is that glory best revealed? It's made known through our love for God and for one another. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Another part of Jesus' prayer. I mean, this is akin to what Jesus says in chapter 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Notice the chain of love. God gives divine love to Jesus. Jesus gives it to us, and we give it to one another. Love is not something we conjure up from within ourselves. It is a gift given to us to be passed on to someone else. We reveal the love glory of God when we love one another in the way that Jesus loved us first. Love in spite of our sin, love regardless of our positions, and love with little heed paid to minor differences in doctrine and practice. Jesus invites us to form a new culture centered on reflecting the glory of God through our love for God and one another. The body of Christ will become more spiritually profitable and practically successful in teaching the world if it is willing to adapt to the culture change. And one of the questions we might ask ourselves or ask others as we merge with Jesus' vision is this: are we willing to be the church for which Jesus prayed? Corporations have a tough time pulling off mergers because everyone seems to be in it for themselves. But in a post-Christendom world, can Christians successfully merge because we're in it for God's glory, God's mission, and God's love, and nothing else? And that would truly be a marriage made in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.